Well, welcome to today's podcast, Is Worth Considering. I'm Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. Does it seem to you that life is a bit out of control? Or if you think so, you're not alone. This short podcast is to help, well, all of us to consider the teachings of Christ, even in these out-of-control times. My co-host for this discussion is Daniel Anderson. We are going to be discussing, are you woke? That is, are you aware of the battle that rages, not only in our society, but for the hearts and minds of future generations? We are going to be discussing this age-old conflict, where it comes from, and where can the victory be found. All right. Hey there, Dan. How are you?
Hey, David. Doing well.
Are you awake this morning as we continue, as we start our conversation?
Well, sort of. I was having a little coffee time there with Dee Dee as she was working, my wife, and I said, hey, by the way, what time is it? She said, 10 to 11. It's like, oh, crap. So I darted up here, and you had to put up with me setting my recording levels and realizing that my headset didn't work, and so I'm holding the phone. But this is kind of like olden days. I mean, we've had so many fun phone conversations that I guess this feels natural.
That's right. Whatever it takes to make happen, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so our conversation I asked you if you're awake because we're going to talk about what it is to be woke, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That is to be made aware, to be awakened.
Yes.
And so that's going to be an interesting conversation because it is definitely an issue that is just permeating our society, turning things upside down. So,
yeah, and I think that's exactly what it was intended to do, and it's doing a really great job of it.
Yeah, and so with that said, intended to do, and so in order for there to be an intention, there must be someone who is intending to get this, to turn things upside down. So what do you think? Who is behind all of this?
Satan.
Very clear, very succinct. Yeah,
brings us right back to our last podcast.
It is. I mean, we are in a spiritual battle, and sometimes we just get so trapped in seeing things as we see with our physical eyes. We don't really question, is there something or someone behind this that we're not seeing?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's the short answer, and the long answer is speculative, and I take it with a grain of salt. But, you know, who can't help but wonder, well, now what names, you know, in our history here might be behind it? And I do think along the lines of, you know, the story of the Frankfurt School that started in Columbia University, where they were communists in Germany, and as Hitler was rising to power, they had to leave Germany, so they did. So they came to America at Columbia University, called the Frankfurt School, and they started cultural Marxism. They became very influenced by Gramsci, who was the head of the Communist Party for a while in Italy. And he said that, you know, the plan of Karl Marx is not happening. The proletariat is not uniting against the bourgeois, especially in America because of upward mobility. So what are we going to do to topple America? So he came up with a brilliant idea, which has been very effective, that now we call intersectionality.
But intersectionality.
Yeah, it sounds kind of, so, you almost want to make a song out of that. Intersectionality.
Well, do me a favor and break that down. What do you mean by, so that things are intersecting? So what's intersection at? What does
that
mean?
Well, the idea is that the proletariat was not going to do the job, so why don't we hodgepodge a group of people together, you know, intersect them, of disgruntled people who could become agitated enough, angry enough to be our useful idiots in doing the job of the proletariat to throw over the U.S. government.
So the idea is that they're always going to find, right, sour grapes. There are going to be people who, you know, disagree, and if you can unite them together to have a common enemy, then you've increased your army size, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So you find people with genuine grievances, you know, many of them, but then you're using them to your own end, and they don't really even realize that you're doing that. And of course, after a communist revolution, those are the very ones who first will take the bullet in the head like, you know, what happened in the USSR were the ones who were involved in the Bolshevik Revolution. They'd go in for their meeting thinking, wow, this is really great. I'm going to get mine. What's coming to me? Because I was right here on the ground floor. And they did. It was a bullet in the head.
So you're talking about quite a bit of history that most people really are not that familiar with.
Right.
So we're looking at, well, when you start talking about politics and stuff like that, then all of a sudden we're moving out of the spiritual realm. At least that's what the tendency is, and saying, okay, this is a socialist movement. But, you know, our comment, or when we first started, is that it's a spiritual warfare.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's both, and I think the bifurcation of those two things don't really work. I mean, I think there's kind of the danger of thinking along Gnostic lines, like there's the physical and there's the spiritual. And as Christians, we just need to focus on the spiritual. So let's just pray. And but don't do this. Don't get involved in grubby politics. Just the world's going to hell in a handbasket. But you know what? We're going to be raptured, or Jesus is coming back. And
oh, that's a sweet sound, right?
Yeah. So let's just focus on that. And as far as the rest of this stuff, you know, just get by until that happens. And
so, hey, even from the Garden of Eden, when we see what takes place, here we are, a physical world.
Right.
God creates, you know, the Garden of Eden. He creates the world, and in that he places the Garden of Eden, and he puts man and woman, and then the spiritual realm comes and invades. Not invades, but is actually a part of the physical world in which we live in, which God created. And so we see his influence. I mean, Adam and Eve had to be the one to take the tree, you know, fruit of the tree and eat it. But it was, you know, suggested by Satan.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And so when we look at what's going on, you know, you're talking, oh, wow, you're talking history that goes back over 100 years. And all those people are dead.
Exactly.
Right?
Let's go back more like 4,000 or so years, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
And so the players are all different, but the captain of that particular program is still alive.
Exactly.
That's Satan.
Exactly. Same old story. Yeah. So for Eve, you know, and Adam, like, hey, you can be your own gods. He's just in the way. So I think that's the kernel of it, the Tower of Babel. I mean, Freemasons go, you know, some of them cite their source right back to that. What was his name? I forget. At the Tower of Babel, the king who started that. But anyway, the idea is, yes, you can be your own gods. Worship yourselves as God. Don't worship God.
And that's a really interesting concept, because this is a battle that's going on.
Exactly.
That, you know, the soldiers are all dying and new ones are coming along, but we're the soldiers in this battle that God has with Satan, or that Satan is revolting against God.
Yeah.
And so, hey, we're here today, but somebody else is going to fill our shoes tomorrow.
Well, yeah, and if you just look back 100 years and think about Rauschenbusch, I think his name was, and Schleiermacher, and, you know, the founders of liberal Protestantism. So we look at liberal Protestant churches, and whether it be, you know, Episcopalian or United Methodist, or, I mean, of course,
are
within them,
about,
they're good ones. But, I mean, you look back at the social gospel.
Sure, you're looking at wolves in sheep clothing, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. And they were doing exactly the same thing, coming out of the Fabian Society with George Bernard Shaw, and starting the same thing. We can be our own gods. We can create the kingdom of God on earth. We do not need to look forward to Jesus' return or to following God's law for society and our individual lives. No, we will create our own government, and it will be the Tower of Babel leading us to utopia.
Yeah, to utopia. And the one who's leading this charge is going to be Satan, the one who is the common denominator
yep.
through all these working, all these religious and world leaders throughout time.
Yeah, he's used one useful idiot after the other.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's and so, hey, we were on that other side at one time, weren't we?
Mm-hmm.
You and I.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that we weren't followers of Christ, and so therefore, we were who? We were following the flesh and following, you know, the philosophy of the world.
Yeah, the same thing. I mean, I was just reading First Maccabees a little bit, given the history of you know, about 135 or whatever, 200, somewhere in there under Alexander the Great, where he took over Israel, among other things, and he dies and the four generals come, and so one of them is Antiochus Epiphanes, and so he's requiring, no, you are not going to worship at this temple like you've been doing. So he brings in a pig or whatever it was, sacrifices something that defiles that altar, and says, you will worship me. And he said to, what was his name, one of the Maccabees' sons, Judas or something, you worship me. And, you know, one Jew, a Hellenistic Jew, jumped in there, oh, I will. And he did, and Maccabees actually stabbed him, and then turned around and stabbed the German soldier, the official. And then some people revolted, you know, killed some more, and then they fled to the hills. But the long and short of it is, though, they ended up getting their temple back. So I'm not advocating violence here, but I mean, this is history, and it's the same old story. Satan brings about his people to establish their kingdom, their way of worship. You better get in line, or you're going to lose your job, you're going to lose your reputation, whatever. You're going to lose your life, ultimately.
So really, what you've done for us here is that you've kind of given a historical context in which we can go back and see how really the battle has continued on in much the same way it always has. It's changed its, you know, strategies a bit, but the purpose is, it remains well established. And so it's just not a new phenomenon.
Exactly.
Because most people aren't, they're not students of history. They don't go back much further than, you know, well, our founding fathers, if they even go back that far.
Right. Yeah, and even apart from doing that, just, you know, we're making the same decisions Adam and Eve did in the garden, the same decisions that, you know, the Jews had to make before the time of Christ. Are you going to be a Hellenistic Jew? Are you going to exercise naked with the Greeks in the Colosseum? And
that's the wonderful thing. So you have a Christian view, which is that we take the scriptures, old and new, and in there, we can see the story as how it was laid out, how God intended the world to be and how Satan interfered and why there is a fall, why there is death, why there is suffering, and why there is a continual battle that goes on, that each person thinks it's individual. They think it's just them.
Yeah. Yeah, just party on. I mean, just think of like when Moses was going up to receive the Ten Commandments. And then right away, you know, what do they resort to but their paganism, you know, which included the debauchery and the orgies and the drunkenness and woo-hoo.
Yeah.
We can live it up. Things and they create their own religion, you know.
Yeah, things haven't changed, have they?
No, same old story.
Man has created a religion in his own image.
Yeah.
And which is scary, because if you look at what men will do to men.
Oh, yeah.
Mankind in the 20th century killed more people than at any other time in history, just in war itself, let alone when you look at the modern last 100 years of abortion and we're sacrificing our children upon the altar.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So really things haven't changed. We're just re-tagging it.
Yeah.
This is science, or, you know, this is a new way of government or such.
Well, the scary part for us now, though, I think we've lived very comfortable lives, relatively speaking. And so we can be lulled to sleep and comfortable and just not want anything to rock our boat. You know, we become Epicureans. Really, the purpose of life is just to have peace of mind. So Epicurus told his followers, you know, do not think about things like death and about your final accounting. I mean, that's not comfortable, you know. There's a radio station called WLQR back in Toledo. And it was all
da 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 da
da da da da da da da. Would you like me to keep going?
No, that's enough.
Is that enough? Okay.
We got the...
You get the feel. You know, elevator music. With the ideas that, yeah, you just, you know, come home and have a nice glass of whiskey and relax and, you know, watch some
TV. We definitely
have
had a time of prosperity.
Yeah, and who wants to rock that? You know, just enjoy. Don't be thinking
about
these disrupting things.
People are rocking it. That's
the
problem.
They are, yeah.
When we look at today and we look at what woke is today, that time, which everything was established, is this a time of peace and prosperity?
Yeah.
the counterculture is turning that all upside down. So
yeah,
that's kind of like taking this idea of what you kind of discussed in history, and actually from the very beginning of time, we see in Genesis, and we see it in the history of Israel.
Yeah.
Now we are seeing it in this country.
Well, yeah.
And
and they warned us, too. It's kind of like back when I was in high school, you know, we will rock you. Boom, 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 tish, a boom, boom, tish. We will. Yeah. You want me to keep going?
No.
Is that
no.
enough? Okay.
So, we lived in a time we were talking about that, a time of peace and prosperity. After we came out of the Vietnam War, we pretty much, we've had some wars in Afghanistan and other things, and we have lost American lives, but nothing like it was in Vietnam.
Right.
And during that time, where we should be preparing, okay, because the world is never a safe place, spiritually speaking, we're just kind of taking our ease, and now we're kind of caught off guard.
Yeah.
After COVID hit, everything just seems to have exploded.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, and that kind of takes us in this direction where initially we talked about this somewhat. I don't know if I could read a short paragraph I wrote here. So is that all right?
Sure. What's it about?
Let's see. Evangelical Christian DEI wokeism. I mean, the idea of going to sleep and being asleep at the wheel and actually having the wolves among you. So I put all this.
See, that's a really good inverse. But I'm going to let you read that, but let me just interject here. That when, you know, woke society counterculture is in our face, and when it's so blatant, we can say and recognize, oh, okay, this is not anything to do with who we are. But wokeism really kind of slips in the back door.
Yeah.
And Christians and evangelical Christians have kind of allowed that door to remain open.
Yeah.
And it's making its way. So go ahead and read your paragraph
okay.
that you...
And by the way, I have it with a whole ton of helpful links, audiobooks, podcasts, YouTube videos, a few articles, whatever, and I popped them all up here. But
But you're not getting a Grammy here, so don't thank anybody. Just
no,
give me
yeah,
what you
no,
have.
I will. But just, I'm just saying, though, if they want to follow the resources, you'd go to minds.com. That's a social media source. And so my page is called Birgittaville, you know, named after Saint Birgitta. So as
oh yeah, she's a dear saint.
Yes. So I hope that doesn't sound disrespectful, Birgittaville. I guess I had the word Margitaville in the back of my mind, but anyway, I could sing that song right. for you too if you want.
No. Go on with your writing. Oh,
okay.
Here, my
okay. Okay. Well, anyway, but Birgittaville is spelled Birgittaville. Okay, as a Roman Catholic, I've diligently stayed abreast of troubling trends and actors within the church, the Catholic Church, hoping to warn other Catholics of the traps and snakes around us, ones they're typically unaware of. Evangelical family and friends, too, even the normally well-informed and serious ones, I'm finding, not you here, David, but others, family members I've found, I am finding are unaware of the evil within their own camps. Here's your red pill.
Yeah.
Your church, family, nation, business, school, and culture are under existential threat. The least you can do...
Existential.
Yeah.
A lot of people are not going to understand that 25-cent word.
Sure.
What is existential?
Well, just its existence. Its very existence is under threat.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here either. I'm not trying to, you know, speak over the top. But the least you can do is to begin considering credible but uncomfortable information, thoughtfully check out these sources. So there I give, like, helpful articles on Timothy Keller, Pope to Evangelicals, ? So a few articles there. And then helpful YouTube videos, helpful podcast episodes from Sovereign Nations. That's a podcast that would really get you up to speed on this wokeism stuff within the church, Catholic and Protestant. Sovereign Nations. Helpful reading books on Amazon. So there's several of them. One of them, Christianity, Social Justice, Religions, in conflict. Anyway,
so,
there's several.
So break
of
it
them.
Down for us. Break it down for us.
Well,
I mean, people are not going to necessarily go to those, so some may.
Okay.
But from your, what is wokeism today, and how is it in the church? Where do you see it?
Yeah, it is. Okay, so first of all, the word wokeism, like you said, is becoming awake. I mean, heck, who's got a problem with that, right? And the same sort of thing like, well, Black Lives Matter. Like, yeah, duh, of course. You're a Christian, right? I mean, they matter, of course. But anyway, when you realize, okay, no, really, I mean, Black Lives Matter, that actually is an organization, you know, started by, in their own words, you know, serious Marxists, and they are witches, you know, who practice incantation, you know, necromancy, talking with the dead, calling up the dead. They say so themselves. That's why, say the name, say the name.
Yeah, but most people don't care about that. Most people are about the social issue, which is the forefront of what they're talking about. For example, let's take Black Lives Matter. Let's leave one thing at a time, right?
Yeah.
So how is Black Lives Matter such a bad thing? Don't Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, absolutely Black Lives Matter. But too often we tend to take the sound of it and go with the common sense meaning, which is what they want us to do, and then entrap us in it. And then, yes, send your money, by the way, which was not accounted for at all with the IRS. Try that yourself. You will be in prison. And about in their case, no, that's fine. So
they kind of wrap that under the title social justice, don't they?
Oh, yeah, the same thing. Yeah. So, I mean, do you not want justice for society? Come on, get real. Yes, of course I want justice for society. But when you use that term, social justice, well, you could look at it with, you know, papal encyclicals back from 100 years ago and to where, yes, they take that word seriously. But the way it's used today, social justice, no, what it means is basically socialism. What it means is redistribution of wealth, which is, I mean, it's not Christian charity, but Christians are sucked into that. Of course we want to be charitable. I'd hope, right? But no, we're not talking about charity. We're talking about involuntarily having your wealth redistributed as the government decides.
Okay, this is the piece that most people are not going to be able to grasp, because that's not necessarily how they're seeing the argument. They're busy with their lives.
Yeah.
And they're working and stuff like that. So the idea is that we want social justice, and that's a phrase, even in the idea itself, that we would tag anything onto the term justice.
Right.
Is a cautionary thing, because, you know, if it's social justice, well, what's the difference between social justice and justice?
Yeah.
And it's just simply going to be, we're going to hyper-focus on one particular area, meaning that, hey, society is wrong. Society is oppressing people. Society is geared for the success of one racial group compared to the putting down of another racial group. And so when they're talking about social justice, shouldn't we deal with these social issues, issues of prejudice and stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but the problem is not to fall into their terminology and thus have the card already stacked. The deck has already been stacked. In that, just they'll have you speaking in the common terms, collectivist terms. So collectivist terms, you look at people as collections, as groups, not as individuals. So this is the same thing as the old social gospel of 100 years ago, starting the liberal.
That's a really interesting point. When you're talking about not talking about people individually,
yeah,
and their individual responsibility, but you're simply categorizing people by race or by gender,
yeah,
or by how they view themselves.
Yeah, so it's not just at all. Now, normally when I say a thing like this, I'll need to have like a 10-minute rant explaining, no, I am not a racist. I disavow all racism. Yes, I believe that Black Lives Matter. Blah, 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 blah. But anyway, I'm going to save all of the, you know, all of that, whatever you call it, preamble, and just say, yes, I believe all lives matter. Yes, I believe we're all in God's image. Okay, absolutely. Yes, I believe in charity. I believe in love. I believe in treating others in equal respect. All that. There we go. Absolutely. Now, anyway, that all being said, what is being called social justice and regarding race here is not justice at all. It's grave injustice. And it's looking at people collectively. So you, as a white person, are guilty. period. Oh, no, but it doesn't matter what you say about how the heroic acts and the self-sacrificing acts that you've done for people of color, that does not matter. What matters is your melatonin level is wrong. You know, we're all one race, the human race, right? But we have different ethnicities. And so your ethnicity has too much melatonin in it, so we call you Caucasian. You are guilty, ipso facto, end of conversation. So there's no salvation. The problem is,
Dan, is that you are way too far ahead of the common listener, okay?
Sure.
And when you go back to the things in which you declare that you believe in, right, you're pretty much restating Christian values.
Yeah.
How God views justice in humanity.
Right.
And so in this world, there's only two views. There's the Christian view, and that means Christ's teaching, how he views the creation, the world, the fall of man, its redemption, and how men are to live in this world. And then there is the worldview, which is anybody's worldview they want to.
Yeah.
But there's really no such thing as a Christian worldview, because that's the blending of paganism and Christianity. And so when you were talking earlier about these are the things that you believe in, you're basing that on Judeo-Christian values, things that you find in Scripture.
Right.
And now when you leave that, then all of a sudden, the worldview. And so this idea of being woke is in contrast to what God has established. And I think that's an important point, because you've gone down this road and said, okay, what you're saying is that whiteness is bad. Not just that you're white,
right,
but how you view life and the meaning of life is wrong, because that is a construct,
yeah,
created by those who are in power, and white people have been in power.
Yeah, and so that also then our, you know, systematic racism. So we're not talking about racism of individuals, which of course I completely condemn. Anybody who thinks their race is superior to another or treats others as inferior because of their race, I mean, that's of the devil. But that's not what we're talking about. But because we get tricked by the terminology, we think that that's what it is, and so we fall for it and we go along with it. And but no, we're talking about structural racism, systemic racism.
So
in other
words,
we have to get
rid of... What are they so upset about?
The U.S. Constitution has got to go. The U.S. government has got to be fundamentally transformed, because, you know, the people who created the Constitution, many of them did own slaves. So it was built by white people for white people. So it's got to go. So in other words, this is just a great way to overthrow.
If you're white, you can't talk about anybody who's not white? Is that the idea?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you're told in no uncertain terms in certain many training seminars, which, by the way, are backed by many federal agencies, that as a white person, you are guilty. You need to be quiet and listen. Even if you're being yelled at and excoriated, you take it because you deserve it. And any of this kind of talk, but no, really, I've been very self-sacrificial and no racist whatsoever. I've been really an anti-racist and all this. And okay, that just then goes all the more to prove that you're a racist. So, in other words, it's an irrefutable theory.
Let's stop for one second here, okay? Because if you're white and therefore everything that's been established by white has to do with benefiting, you know, the race, the white what race. And now if you're saying, okay, the only people who can speak are people who are not white, then they're going to do the exact same thing that they're accusing the white people of doing.
Oh, yeah.
So it's an impossibility to create a society that is not going to be directed to helping a particular race of people.
Yeah,
like that's the philosophy in which they hold.
Yeah.
So why in the world will we listen to them?
Because
if
we're tricked.
We know where this is going to go.
We're tricked into it. We're guilted into it, and we do not see where it is going.
That is a huge piece. Let's talk about that, because I think that is a really an underlying piece, is that we do have a sense of guilt.
Yeah.
And guilt can be true, or guilt can be artificial. And many times it's both true and artificial.
Right.
So what I mean by this is that I know, as a white person, absolutely, I've had advantages, okay? And I know that because of my whiteness, that has allowed certain doors to open for me where it would not have been open for others. And I'll give you an example. I worked for a company that, for the most part, sold products to white businessmen. They would not hire a black salesman. Why? Because they knew that they would not, that their sales would go down. And you would hate to say that, but they judged their customers quite well. And being and knowing those customers, I would say, yeah, you're probably right. If we sent a black salesman into their shops to sell something, they would probably not buy from him, simply because, guess what? He's black.
Right.
And I would say, yeah, there is white privilege, and I've benefited from that. Now, what's the remedy of that? Okay.
Right.
Is the remedy? That's the question. I mean, I think there's legitimacy to part of the argument. And matter of fact, that's how this guilt is created, because there rings of some truth. Now, with that comes a whole boatload of lies, and I would say also false guilt. Well, that'll be it for today, but thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast. This was the first in the series, Are You Woke? We hope you continue to tune in and don't drop out as we end part one of Woke. We have more to discuss, but it will have to wait for a later time. Until then, we'll go out as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in desperate need of the gospel. God bless.